When I was praying yesterday morning, the Lord began to speak to me a few things, and this is the only one I can share at this time. He said, I want you to begin to map the Permian Basin, and this is the Permian Basin in the counties. Andrews, Borden, Crane, Dawson, Ector, Gaines, Glasscock, Howard, Loving, Martin, Midland, Pecos, Reeves, Terrell, Upton, Ward, and Winklers. Both of y'all said you had it about Midland, so this will fit into that. And I've added this, whether you want to use it or not. What it is the strengths of the area, the weaknesses, the threats, and also the opportunities. So it might be a good guideline for you as you begin to call in and take authority in these areas as the Holy Spirit leads you. And maybe in a few months we'll see what the Lord's spoken to you, and we can put together more of a better map to begin to speak. But anyway, I just wanted to start with that. If this ministry is for the Permian Basin, then we need to start targeting the Permian Basin. Okay. All right. All right, we have a teaching this morning, 8:14:22. This is called Turning Mountains into Molehills. When Jesus was here, he said something in demonstration also. This has become an anchor for the Word of Faith Christians, especially this scripture. This is Mark 11:22-24. You know, I was thinking about Danny's testimony of how a job he used to work at, and he wanted this promotion for this job manager or whatever it was, and he kept telling the guy, you're going to get it, and I'm not going to get it, you're going to get it, and sure enough, he got it, and then he was upset at the Lord, why didn't I get it? He said, well, you said what you wanted, and he's, huh?
You got what you said.
Yeah, you got what you said, and then he said, then he said to the Lord, then you mean Mark 11:22-24 means what it says? Isn't that amazing that the word actually means what it says? You'd be surprised how people misconstrue the word of God in so many areas. The book of Revelation is probably the biggest one, but there's many others that they just read it, and it's just like it just goes over the top of their head. It's kind of like reading, you know, some kind of math equation. You just buzz over it, just, you know, out your brain it goes. Anyway, let's read Mark 11:22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. All right? For the world and a lot of believers that do not understand and practice this, it's working for them. Just like I told you about what happened to Danny. You know, speaking, people get in that. They'll say, well, that won't happen to me. That nothing good ever happens to me. People get into those kinds of talking and they don't realize that they're stopping God's operation in their life. They don't realize they're actually operating in faith all the time. Well, I don't know how to use my faith. Yeah, you do. See all that negative stuff you've got? See all those problems you've got? Guess what? You signed the ticket when it came to the door. You know, when the UPS man required a signature? You signed it. How do you do it? Your voice, your words sign the ticket. So we best be saying the right words, right? Saying what we want, not what we have. What fool wants more of what they got? In the negative, I'm talking. Isn't that foolish? Yes, it's foolish. But is it true? Yes, it's true. Have you ever been around people, and I have on and off my Christian life that it don't matter what you do, how much you give them, whatever, they never seem to come out of their slump. They're willing to take the handouts, but they never better. They never get any better. They never rise up and say, well, bless God, I'm tired of this, and I'm saying this, and this is the way it's going to be. I know of people I've known 40 years. They're no better today than they were at the beginning. They even listened to my broadcast some. I'm thinking, I don't get it. But regardless, whichever route you choose, you're going to get the same results, for negative or positive. All right. Oh, I would safely say today that most are turning their molehills into mountains instead of mountains into molehills. We got a lot of Chicken Littles running around. Oh my God. Oh no, they're coming for our gods. We're not going to have anything to eat. Oh, I hear it all the time. I'm telling you, it's gotten to where I don't really have anything to listen to anymore because they've all gotten so negative. They're fear pushers, fear mongers. I was listening to a Q&A last night, Phil. And he said, the question was, is there really a food shortage? He said, no. It's all a show. Now another question. Well, how did the person put it? So is this true? Because it's a yes and no. Is this true? That all the cabal has been dealt with and now it's just being played out like a movie? And yet we said yes to both. That is the truth. So if you know that and you focus on that, then you're not going to get disturbed and start saying things and start taking a thought saying or doing things that get you into trouble. We've got to catch ourselves because it seems like it's easier to blah, 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 blah out of something out of your mouth before you even think about it as a reaction from your flesh. So, Lord, put a gag over my mouth. Holy Spirit, put a door over my lips. Now, was that David that said it? Put a watchman over my mouth. That if I don't speak anything that doesn't produce something that I would desire, something good. Okay, let's look at some scriptures. Genesis 1. We're made in Father's image, and this is how He takes care of things. Genesis 1:4. Or Genesis 1-4 is what I meant. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What did God do? Well, I guess I better call a contractor in the morning and see how much this is going to cost me. You know, the last time the devil did this, it cost me billions. What did he do? And he said, let there be light. There was light. You know, I believe this. When we get to the place that we will guard our words so carefully, we will see manifestation and we'll see it quickly. And everybody goes, oh, it's a miracle. No, it's faith. So many of the works of Jesus were just works of faith. And all the miracles of Jesus. Just like, what does that do? It puts him in a category, which he isn't a category all his own, but as far as he walked it out before us to show us the way, he did the works. And then he said, you do the works that I did. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So every adverse situation that had to do with that, the earth out there, darkness, water covering it. He began to speak. This happened. He did it for 6 days. All right, Genesis 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So there wasn't anything that was in the earth that God made that man didn't have dominion over. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb bearing fruit. You know, see, I think as things begin to unfold, another of this one of these questions was, are the 5G towers causing us any harm? No. Are the 5G towers on Tesla Energy? Yes. We're going to see that we're going to come back to this right here, what I just said. No lack of anything, of any kind. He made the earth to not lack anything, to fully supply the man. He never had to toil a day of his life to put bread on the table. Right here. God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. What's the problem? The thief. There you go. The thief. What we're trying to get rid of right now. The thief. They ravaged the earth for 6,000 years. A little interesting side note on that. In 1947, there was probably 16 UFO crashes worldwide. I think about 14 of them were actually in the United States. There was like one in Arizona, one in New Mexico, which, you know, the Roswell deal. But the thing is, they tracked these vehicles in our atmosphere within the dome, lower earth. The space station, by the way, is in lower earth. There is a space station, it's in lower earth. And this is when all this began, alien stuff. Now they lie. One of these said aliens, his name was, they called him Ebi. Ebi lived about 5 years and then he died. They don't know why. But one characteristic about Ebi was this, he lied all the time. He lied. Who does that sound like? His father, the devil. They made contact with humans. And they made a deal with them. Our government made a deal with them. And they had a deal where they could use humans as experiments. But it got to where they were finding so many dead bodies and dead bodies of animals all over the United States. They broke their treaty. Why? They were eating humans, abducting. All the abductions, they were legitimate. They were real. But they did this to trade for alien technology. These TC-3Bs that can cloak. All of this, Majestic 12. All of these ships and things. These are all legitimate things. These are all these things they've been hiding for all these many years. See, God made it all complete and whole just for us. What happened? The thief. I think the real reason that they even contacted anyone is because we came into the technology of the atom bomb. That's what Admiral Byrd, with this whatever part that he met with in Antarctica, with the, you know, had the German anti-gravity ships. See, They were concerned about them destroying the earth. Well, if they're from all these galaxies, why would they come here and want to hit down here? That's what all the domes are about. They made a deal with them to make these domes. That's where they live. That's why they wanted to shield the sun, because they can't come to the surface. See, they're destined for the pit. Well, they're fixing to get it. That's just a nutshell of what we've been dealing with. What our government's been dealing with. See, the bloodline families, they're the ones that really, the bankers, that really struck deals with these people and the government. And they've been running the thing. Took it completely out of the hands of the people. And the devil's been running the show ever since. So who do we have to blame? Them? Not really. Right here. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth. They've stolen all of it from us, y'all. All of it. All of it. All right. Chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. All right, we get over here. He has Adam parade before him to see what he would call the animals. This is verse 19. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name of thereof. So he acted just like God acted, because he's created in the image of God. And we saw here in chapter 2, you see about God putting a sprinkler system where the water comes up under the ground and waters everything. We know a little bit about that. It takes me an hour to get out there and water all that stuff. But God already had it all fixed. I mean, he had everything fixed. There's gold and anything you needed in the ground. I mean, it was complete. It was perfect. It was whole. All he asked man to do was keep it in line by this, speaking. Until guess who showed up? The devil. Well, he gave it back to us. All right, we have to face things the way God faced things. That's what I'm saying today. This morning, the program was running behind. And I was thinking, oh my God. And I was just sitting there. And I just had it remit every sin. All the many programs they've botched and messed up. Just forgive them. Well, they cut short the lady in front of me and put mine in place, and it ran the whole time, the complete. I'm thinking, yeah, that's what love does. Love paves the way. Instead of getting all upset like I used to, I used to just get so upset over them messing it up. You know, I'm just thinking, what am I going to do, Lord, with these people? Well, all you can do is forgive them. What's it going to do for me get on there or Sean and ring them out? It's just going to make it worse. See, this is the way God handles things. He says what he desires. He doesn't take a small situation and blow it out of proportion and make it a mountain. He controlled his words. He said exactly what he wanted. And I think the more fine-tuned we get in this, the more manifestation we're going to see of just the things that we desire. All right. Our nation has mountains of problems, and there are a handful of biblical Christians, by that I mean, that actually read and interpret it correctly, speaking to these mountains. The whole world is saying just exactly what they see. And calling for everything they don't want. Everywhere we look, there's something to speak to, and the constant temptation to speak what we really don't want is ever present. Just like Cain, the Lord said, if you do right, you'll get a blessing, but sin crouches at the door. What is Matthew 6? We've read that so many times. I'm going to give you some points about Matthew 6. I wrote them down. Now, I'm not going to read Matthew 6, but I'm going to give you the points of Matthew 6 because you know what Matthew 6 says. It's probably one of the most read scriptures I've ever read. One, when you give, give in secret. That goes along with what the Lord gave me this morning, right? Father seeth in secret and rewards openly. Pray in secret. The Father already knows what you need and will reward you. Pray and believe the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. Forgive and you're forgiven. If you sacrifice by fasting, do it secretly and you will be rewarded. I remember when we were young in the Lord, all this stuff come out about the 40-day fast. It was more of a braggart thing. Oh, I went 2 days. You know. Lay up not earthly treasures, for they can be stolen, as we can see. Take no thought for your life, what you eat, drink, or wear. Notice how God takes care of the birds. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Yes, the mountains are screaming at us, but we don't have to settle for that. We can say what we want and expect it to happen. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, he just went on about his business. Peter saw the next day it was dried up from the roots, and he brought attention to it to the Lord. And then the Lord said, well, I told you in Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24 that I just read to you. You can do the same thing. Oh, it's a miracle. No, faith. People say it's a miracle because it's so foreign to them. The walk of faith in God's way is so foreign to most Christians. Anytime you see a manifestation of someone speaking or laying hands on somebody, oh, it's a miracle. No, it's just the walk of the Spirit. It's something we should expect everywhere we go. Have faith then. All right. This way of the kingdom, it is the opposite of the ways of the world. Be careful who you listen to. It can pull you off your kingdom track and get you into worrying about the future, even today, and your faith won't work. You can get on their Patriot supply train. Or you need to have 3 months of water, 3 months of food. I'm thinking, Lord, you've never told us to do one thing, not one thing, not one. Well, who knows really what's going to happen and everything about it and all the details? Only one person, God. Now Q says they know. Well, they know their plan, but I don't know that they totally know God's. All right, you can only serve one master. Well, I know which one I want to serve. We're getting better at it. It's kind of like that song, we're getting better every day. I say that every day. I feel better every day. Lord, I'm getting better every day. Oh, I just feel so bad. I just need to go to bed. You know, choose. Choose. It's up to you. All right, we're going to look at a few times in the mainly Old Testament where people did just that. They spoke what they wanted. This is Joshua 10. 10:12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thy still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like it before it or after it that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. That's pretty bad. There's been no more day like it. I think those days are coming again. Judges chapter 5. This is Deborah, the judge. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, and the heavens dropped, and the clouds also dropped waters. The mountains melted before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel." Our God is a mountain melter. Field of Edom. You know what Edom is? Edom is Esau. Means red, blood. This is the deep state. Edom. Esau. See, they were putting up with what we're putting up with then. Way back then. 1 Kings. That's why God said, run them out. Kill them off. Or they will make your life a living hell. First Kings 17:1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." So for 3.5 years, there wasn't any rain. James gives reference to that. This is James 5. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Well, he didn't pray, he said. He didn't pray, he said. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, or he said again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Okay, 1 Kings 19. 11 and 12. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire a still, small voice." See, we see Jesus doing the same things whenever the disciples were out on the lake and they were having a meltdown. Jesus said, "Peace, be still." A still, small voice. "Peace, be still." Mark 4, that's a little look at it because it's... Mark 4, 35. Jesus said what he wanted right here. "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over to the other side." They didn't have anything to fear. They were going to make it to the other side. Do you do that? "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him the other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they ask him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? One of them faith men. They walk by faith. Jesus walked by faith. He didn't walk by miracles. He walked by faith. See, people, I think they disqualify, and it's a disservice to say that it was, well, he does miracles, because that puts him in a place where only he could do it and we couldn't. And we know Jesus didn't do that. He said, you'd do greater works than I do. It's just that we haven't gotten that into our thinking. The religious training teaches you otherwise, you know. All right, just a few quiet words. Isn't that a still small voice? We'll go safely to the other side. Peace, be still. While everybody else is, all right, everyone has fallen apart and you just say, peace, be still. All right, Job 28:9. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturneth the mountains by the roots. Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, plucked up by the roots. Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. Yeah. I want to read a few scriptures that talk about the mountains that I found that were interesting. There's a bunch of them. I didn't do all of them. Isaiah 2:2. And it should come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Now in Revelation, we know about the seven mountains of culture that are dominated by the beast system. God will sit at the top of those seven mountains. Him and his people. All right, Isaiah 41. Those high places of the enemy. Isaiah 41:15. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument. You know, the big Bertha, whatever they call that big drill that's massive, that can bore them big old massive tunnels out in just a couple of hours. This is what this reminds me of. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and thou shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. All right, Isaiah 42:13. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holding my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now I will cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and drop all their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. See, when God shows up, this is what will happen. But see, that's what he wants us to be doing. This is what we are doing. We're making the valleys level, the crooked places straight, bringing every high and lofty thing down. That's what we're doing with our faith. That's what we're speaking. Satan's high and lofty places. All right, Isaiah 54. Verse 10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. By my kindness shall not depart, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempests and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles, or your windows of agates, and all thy borders of pleasant stones, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith and the that bloweth the coals in the fire and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Just get ready for the mountains. They're coming down. All right, Isaiah 55, which is one of my favorite Old Testament verses or passages here. It says in verse 6, to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. Or my ways, your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread for the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name of renown, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Yeah, God's way. All right, this is going to be Ezekiel 36. Get a drink here. Verse 1, also thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel and say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said unto you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Think again. Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that ye might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and you are taken up in the lips of talkers and are in an infamy in the people of the people. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and to the valleys, to the desolate waste, to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and derision, to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken again the residue of the heathen and against all Edomia, which have appointed my land into their possession, with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, to the rivers, to the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy, and in my fury, because ye have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand, surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth with branches. Talking to these institutions around here. No. We say this. What do you think the Lord has having us mapping? This is what mapping is. It's what he's saying. He's prophesying to these mountains. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth with branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and you shall be tilled and sown. I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it, and the city shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be built. Do you know right now, with their depopulation agenda, right now we are so behind in birth rate, and it's dropped considerably? Because there becomes a time where if you don't have the birth rate, you can't make it. This is worldwide. This is what he's talking about. I will multiply men upon you. And I will multiply upon you man and beast with all this abortion and all this birth control garbage. And they shall increase and bring fruit, and I will settle you after your old estates and do better unto you than at your beginnings, and you shall know that I am the Lord. See, they've sold us a bill of goods since I can remember about how crowded the earth is. In fact, they showed one city I can't remember that all the population could fit into. I mean, in Antarctica, it's the size of the United States, or all the countries, all the whole other part that will soon be discovered and used and utilized. So, yeah. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance, and thou shalt not no more henceforth berave them of men. See, they're stealing how many children? I know Putin alone found 35,000 children. That's just one little place. Thus saith the Lord, because they say unto you, thou land devourest up men, and hast bewrayed thy nations. Therefore shalt thou devour men no more, neither bewray thy nations any more, saith the Lord God. Neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen any more. Neither shalt thou bear the reproach of the people any more. Neither shalt thou cause thy nations to fall any more, saith the Lord God. Aren't you tired of hearing about the deep state and all the garbage they're doing? Isn't that what they're saying here? See, they've been where we were. We are. They were. Been gone on for a long time. Okay, Ezekiel 38:18. It shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath that have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. Needs to be. Okay. So that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all the creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. This is talking about the Gog and Magog war here. All right. Ezekiel 39, verse 1. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against God and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. That's in Revelation about the... you know, eat the flesh of kings, birds eating the flesh of kings. All right. Let's see here. I read that. Okay, Ezekiel 38:18. Let's see. 39. No, I just read that. All right, let's move on. Joel 2. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as a horseman so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they shall fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city, and they shall run up the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Say they execute his word. Well, they do. They speak to mountains. That's what we're doing. We're speaking to mountains, okay? Micah. It's all through the Old Covenant. Micah 4. But in the last days, verse 1, it shall come to pass the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountain. It shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let's go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. This is Nisera, by the way. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In other words, what you got is yours, and nobody will take it. The tax man not coming no more. All right, verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Hear ye now what the Lord saith, arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. All right, that's how the Lord takes care of his things. He talks, he speaks, we speak. Nahum, chapter 1. And there's a lot more I didn't put down. I mean, this is just a few. You know, when you see this in the scheme of things, it kind of brings the whole Word of God together, doesn't it? Okay, Nahum 1:2. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. And the Lord hath his way in the whirlwind, and in the storm, and in the clouds, or the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea, and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languishes. Let's see, how many did I? All right. The mountains quake at him. The hills melt. The earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. All he does is say. All right, Habakkuk 3:6. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. Verse 10, the mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. Then it talked about the sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thy arrows they went, at the shining of thy glittering spear. That's what happened with Joshua. All right. Malachi 1. We're going to look at verse 2. Start with 2. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob. I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. See, Esau didn't do right. He lost it. He lost all of it. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. See, they built up everywhere. They thought they had it made. They thought they had everything, and they came very close. But God said, I will throw it down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. It's coming down. All right. I got a few New Testament scriptures, and then we'll be done. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 2. That's not right. It can't be. Let me look at. Okay. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, and become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Okay, you were right. All right, 2 Corinthians, our spiritual warfare, 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. These are mountains. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I want to look at one more scripture back in Jeremiah. I've got to find it. Lord just quickened it to me. I think I've got it underlined, so. In fact, one time somebody spoke, not directly at me, about this, at this ministry, that this scripture was this ministry. You know what scripture I'm talking about? Let me see here. Right here. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Yeah. It is. It's like ice pick on an iceberg. Just keep on hitting it with the word and it comes down. That's how we move mountains. Okay, Revelation 17. This will be our last scriptures. Last scripture on this one. 17. All right, starting with verse 1 here, just the first 9 script verses. And there came one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots and Abominations of the Earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now flip over, or look down here. Well, no, let me keep going. Just let me keep going to through verse 9. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here's the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. These mountains are screaming us every day. So we got to still small voice speak to them. Okay.